You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse number 32. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw no corruption. But he whom God raised up again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first to ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin. We are grateful that the blood of Jesus that cleansed us initially from our sins provides daily cleansing. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I pray that nothing shall be between us and thee. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, that our minds and our hearts may be centered upon the eternal things of God. I pray that for a little while, the things, the cares of this world may be dismissed from our minds and that our attention may be upon the solemn eternal things of God. Thank you for the day, for the blessings, the mercies of it. We are aware, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for this church, for its testimony, its influence for Christ. Thank you for this dear pastor, for his love, his dedication and separation of the cause of our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung tonight that have lifted our hearts up in worship and praise to you and stilled our hearts in your presence, directed our thoughts and our minds to you. I pray, Lord, now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, and may the word of God go forth in its power. When we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has met with us, that God has said something to our hearts. I pray for those who should be strangers to your grace, that this will be the hour of salvation. Revive those of us that are saved. Warm our hearts. Help us to draw nigh to you, that you may draw nigh to us. And all that you're pleased to do for us, through us and in us, we will give you the praise. In the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, we humbly pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses, especially from verse number 36. For David, after it served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. I want to speak to you about serving God in your generation. David said in Psalm 16, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Simon Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, makes it plain that David was not speaking of himself, but that David was speaking concerning him, speaking concerning Christ, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. And Paul, preaching here at Antioch in the 13th chapter of Acts, says, David's body saw corruption after it served his own generation by the will of God. David died. His body was buried. And his body did see corruption. And so it evidently refers to Christ, thine Holy One. He died. He was laid in the grave. But he rose again on the third day. Now, of course, in the Middle Eastern climate, lying there for 3 days, his body had time to decay. The perfume spices that had been placed on the body of our Lord would have limited the odor of corruption, but nevertheless his body would have corrupted at last. And even those perfumed spices would not have stopped the process of decay. But Christ arose and he saw no corruption. His body saw no corruption. It was a special body. It was the body of the Son of God. The psalmist had said of our Lord's body, thou preparest him a body. It was a special body that the Lord Jesus as God entered into at Bethlehem's barn. It was a body that saw no corruption. And impossible, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he ascended with an added glory. He returned as the God-man. And as you well know, there was a time that Jesus was not man, but there never has been a time that he was not God. And when he ascended into heaven after 40 days, he returned as the God-man. And the Bible makes it clear, the man Christ Jesus is our mediator, our intercessor. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, you find a generation described that could well be described as our generation. In verse 11, it is described as a furious generation, one that curses father and mother. It is a filthy generation. In verse 12, in verse 13, it is described as a fearless generation, one that fears no authority whatsoever and calls good evil and evil good. How well that describes our day. It is described in 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 as a fierce generation. And there is a generation, of course, that will be alive when Jesus comes again. And after describing the last days, not only the days preceding the rapture, but the days of the great tribulation and all the events that will follow after the rapture of the church, our Lord declares that the generation that sees these things will be alive when he comes. Of course, no one knows when Jesus shall return. I didn't even know it the other day, but Jesus was supposed to have come 2 weeks ago, and I didn't even know it. But no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall return. But he is coming again at the appointed time, not 1 second late or not 1 second early. Walter Cronkite used to say at the close of his news broadcast, and that's the way it is. Not exactly. That's the way it looked. But that's not the way it is, because there is God's news behind the news. And when we hear the news today, of course, it's often distressing and depressing. But thank God, as the people of God, we have read God's news behind the news. And we know that God is going to put everything in order that is out of order. But it could well be that the responsibility of living in the last generation prior to the coming of the Lord has fallen upon you and me. This book says that because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But that should not be your individual condition. There is a generation that will strut across this earth prior to the coming of the Lord. And it is our responsibility to seek God and to serve God in our generation by the will of God. I thank God for those great men of God that have preceded us. Men like Robert Mary McShane, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Evan Roberts, and a host of other men. Even more recently that are now with the Lord, but have served God well in their generation. But I am so glad that the day will never be so dark or so black that God will not have a faithful remnant to serve Him. We must preach the righteousness, the holiness of God to an unholy generation. And we can either go with popular opinion or we can serve God in our own generation. And so you know the reality of it. How we can serve God. How can we serve God? Should interest us. And it should excite us. Our citizenship is in heaven. And yet as we sojourn on earth as pilgrims and strangers, we are to be a witness for God and a worshiper of God in our generation. As someone has said, God saved us out of the world to go back into the world to get men out of the world. That's the only business we got in the world. We are strangers and we're pilgrims in this world. But our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. We march to the tune of another country. I don't have to remind you that it is open season against Christianity, even in America. And but we're to serve God even in this wicked generation. David served God by the will of God in his generation. He served God as a shepherd. He served God as a singer. He served God as a soldier. And he served God as a sovereign, as the King of Israel. We serve God in our generation when God is honored. David's real concern was the honor and the glory of God. Nothing else seemed to matter. Now it is true that David committed some terrible sins. I mean some bad stuff. He was said to be a man after God's own heart. It was a desire of his heart to follow God. And when sin tripped him and ensnared him, he did what a true child of God will do. He repented and he wept his way back to God. Now when Samuel the prophet came to David and reproved David of his sin, David of course could have had Samuel killed. After all, David was king. But he did not do that. David repented and came back to God in repentance, and for the rest of his life, David described himself as feeling during that period of time, that year, when he was trying to hide his sin. He described himself as feeling as if every bone in his body had been broken. And it was David's cry, "Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow." And though David committed some terrible sins, he repented and he got up again. His heart was for God. Now there's a kind of self-righteous person who would never commit such outward sins, but their heart is like stone and they seem incapable of repentance, and God can do nothing with such a hardened heart. David repented and David got right with God. We do not serve God in our generation when we're enslaved to its habits, when we're enslaved to its customs. the truth of God does not change. Culture does change. And I'm weary as you are, of course, of hearing about culture. Culture does change. But the truth of God does not change. What is sin 2,000 years ago is still sin. There have been just different inventions. There are different types of sin. If you read the paper today, you read the same sins that men committed six or thousands of years ago when God created man. The sins of adultery, the sins of murder and lust and theft and all those sins. Man still has the same depraved heart and basically commits the same sin. He just found many ways to enlarge those sins and many avenues to commit those sins. But the truth of God does not change. The word of God does not change from generation to generation. God's truth remains the same. Now there's one thing about God's truth. You may bury it, but it will arise again. The truth of God cannot be conquered or destroyed. David had great faults in his later life, but he never swerved from his allegiance to God. And even though he committed great sins, nothing close to idolatry, nothing close to blasphemy ever came from the lips of David or from his heart. He never tried to please the heathen of his day. As a matter of fact, David said, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." One of our former presidents, his wife said of him that that his faith was so personal, she didn't even know anything about it. That wasn't so of David. David was not ashamed of God. He was not ashamed of testimony, of testifying of God and for God before kings. Psalm 8:3, it was David who said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" It was David who said in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It was David who said in Psalm 27:4, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." It was David who said in Psalm 40, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and hath established my going, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." It was David who said in Psalm 119, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It was David who said in Psalm 119:176, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." David had a heart for God. It was David who said, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so does my soul thirst after thee, O God." We serve our generation when others are helped. David said in Psalm 40, verse 10, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." And no one has experienced the saving power of God and is able to hide it. No one has experienced the saving power of God can hide it. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. What is in your heart will be revealed by your lips. Our message is is sure. The apostle said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. People in every age, past, present, and future, need the same message. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. The message is the same. The method is the same. It is still God's means of communicating the gospel. And it is through praying and preaching. Someone has said that prayer is the fuse and preaching is the fusion. And it is through prayer and through praying that the gospel is communicated. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The method is the same, and the master is the same. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? That is still the message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him ascend into heaven. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. It is the same old, old story that Christ died and was paid and rose again. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And then there's the accountability. David was ready for any call. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And verse 17 says, and Jesse said unto David, take parched corn and 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. And then in verse 32, and David said to Saul, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And so no matter what the call of God was to David, whether it was to feed sheep, find his brethren, or fight a giant, David was ready. David served God well in his own generation. And after he served God in his own generation, he fell on sleep. David, I'm sure, didn't know that morning when he left that little flock of sheep that he was going to kill the mighty giant Goliath. But as someone said, Billy Sunday said, he went to battle with a slingshot and came back a big shot. For David was ready at the call of God to go anywhere to do whatever God bid him to do. If it was to play the harp before Saul, if it was to feed his father's sheep, or if it was to fight the giant, David was ready. David served God well in his own generation. He was ready at any cost. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. He rested on doing the will of God. Now after Saul had dressed him up in all his armor, David said, I can't go in these. I have not proved them. But I'm going in the name of the Lord of hosts. I do know this. This book will work. I know that preaching might be the slower way, but it will get the job done. It is a sure way. It is God's way. And we have the New Testament as our guide, as our standard. And I remind you that David served his generation well, not by avoiding the conflict, David fought the cowardice, the criticism, and the compromise of men to serve God. We are not to run from the fight. We are not to shut ourselves up in a monastery somewhere. But we are to serve God in battle. Christ, I remind you, is in the thickest part of the battle. If He sends you into battle, He takes the bleak side of the hill where the wind blows the coldest. If He bids you bear a cross, He always carries the heaviest end of that cross. And He giveth more grace. And we have exhausted all our resources. He keeps on giving grace, grace, grace for every battle. Grace for every conflict. The Lord's privileged me to preach for 50 years this past May. And I was thinking tonight, Brother Stan, even as I walked up the hill, I still have the same trembling and the same fear as I did the first night I preached as a 12-year-old boy. And sometimes I wonder to myself, how can I do it again? How can I face any congregation? And yet I know this, the Lord that has helped me all these years will not forsake me. Whatever He sends you into, He gives you grace. I certainly can't depend on my personality. And I cannot depend upon my ability. But I am so grateful that I know that the battle is the Lord. And the God that called me has never disappointed me. And He giveth grace for every trial. When I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm sad, when I'm glad, whatever the situation, His grace is sufficient. David began to serve God. And he kept at it. I'm afraid that there are many casualties in this race for God. The Apostle Paul said you didn't run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Don't ever forget where God found you. Don't ever forget what God brought you from. And don't ever forget that we are what we are by the grace of God. The finality of it. For after David had served his own generation, by the will of God, he fell on sleep. He served God, and he died by the will of God. And at death, his soul, of course, was yet alive, but his body saw corruption. His body died, but not his soul. He died by the will of God. In him we live and move. And have our being. And I don't know, as I'm sure I've said before, how I'll die or when I'll die. I hope Jesus comes first. It could be that I'll get some terrible disease, die in a car accident, or a plane crash. I hope not. Or just suck a green pea down my windpipe the wrong way. I don't know when or how I'll die. But I know this, that we live and die by the will of God. And David served God in his generation by the will of God. And he died by the will of God. And even in his dying hour, he gave these last charges to his son Solomon. We read about old Jacob that he died leaning on a staff, worshiping God. That's a good way to leave. We owe our service to those that are growing old. Learn from those valiant soldiers of the cross that have blazed a trail before us and give them the respect they deserved. During World War II, Winston Churchill said the Royal Air Force, never have so many owed so much to so few. And I owe so much to the dear saints of the Lord who are already at home. The great men of God that are already safe in the arms of Jesus. I pastor just a small church and most of them are elderly. I mean elderly. 89, 86 and on down. And sometimes when I visit some of those people, Brother Stan, trying to encourage them. I have to leave feeling my way for the door. I'm grateful for the saints of God that have blazed the trail. And though bodies grow weak with infirmity of age, the fire of God burns in their heart. And we owe it to those valiant soldiers of the cross to serve God in our generation. We owe it to the youth to lead them, to pray for them. Great dangers face them. Warn them. Encourage them. And it's such a great encouragement to see all these young people here and to listen to them sing and to see the talent that God has given them. There are many young people that have never seen real revival. They do not have a spiritual heritage. And you're blessed to the Lord. And I'm grateful for Brother Stan, who has led you this way. And I'm grateful that you have followed him and that God has brought you this far. And we ought our young people to serve God in our generation. You can rest assured that the truth won't die with us. The truth of God will live on. And God will have young men and young women who will be faithful to Him and love Him. David was not allowed to build the temple, but he accumulated a lot of gold to build that temple. And then it is God who determines the length of the service. With the exception of David's fall, David was faithful to the end. All his friends and all his family even did not remain true. But David did. 2 Samuel 5:23. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. As far as the world's concerned, he fell asleep. But when our work is finished, we will join the blood-washed throng. And someday, on this old poor lisping, stammering tongue, lie silent in the grave. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. On the grave of Dwight L. Moody is simply written that verse from 1 John. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever.